Technical glitches galore. Well, hello, we're finally here. It's Tales of Reptiles time. My friend, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, so good now that I'm about to drink wine and discuss a book with you. So, hey, listeners, it's me, Jordan.
And it's Alicia.
Oh, my gosh. And do we have a book for you this month? And
we have
all the tea to spill. I'm wearing my KC Chiefs jersey. Not jersey, my KC Chiefs shirt.
I should have worn my shirt. We missed the communication on this.
We are on the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift.
Listen, don't make 100%. Me hop off the microphone. I will hop off the microphone and go put my shirt on. Don't make me do it.
I mean, that's all you, if you want to. By all means. Oh my goodness. Oh. Well, hey, it's really good to see you.
It feels like
it's been a while, though I know it hasn't been. We talk so regularly, but don't actually get to
physically
meet each other. So
yeah, right.
Anyway, it's nice to just see your face. Before we get into highs and lows, and before we get into this book, should we share what we are drinking?
Yes.
Oh, you got that's my surprise for you, listeners.
Listeners, if you are wearing headphones, I feel like we should give a warning. There's going to be some squealing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So originally, listeners, I told Alicia what I was going to be drinking. And then she ended up choosing something different. Well, shout out to our cocktail consultant and my lovely, wonderful husband. Mm-hmm. He went and picked up a bottle knowing that this was what you were going to have. So that way we could find the same thing.
I love that. Yay. I'll stop squealing now, you guys. I'm so sorry for that last part.
Why don't we actually tell them what we're drinking? That might be helpful.
Okay. So listen. Okay. So of course, with this book being mostly based out of Greece, I looked up on Total Wine and I found this wine. And mind you, when I went to Total Wine today to pick it up, it was running low on the shelves. So that's how you know it's a good sign. But it's a product of Greece, which is why I picked it up. It's a red dry wine. And the name is called Hermes.
Hermes. Yes.
Love it.
Also, there is on the shelves at Total Wine a sweet version of this. Mm-hmm. Marco almost picked it up for me. I told him this book was not sweet, in my opinion. Therefore, we were not having
a sweet wine. Yeah. I will have to pick up the sweet one, though, on our own time and try it, because I'm absolutely down for that.
Okay. Yeah. Are you ready to give this a try? Give this a taste?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Here we go. Cheers, ma'am.
Cheers.
Oh, my gosh. Here's to you. It really isn't as bad as I anticipated it to be.
Right?
But it is. It's a little more dry for my taste than I prefer.
Yeah, it is a dry table wine. Sure. So,
but this works for our book. Yeah, no, it's not bad at all. Not bad. So, listeners, let's get into Highs and Lows Before We Were Innocent by Ella Berman. Alicia, how are you doing? How have you been?
I've actually been doing better. Okay. So, to go with my low, I was sick. How long have I been sick since Wednesday, Thursday? I just woke up. And I just was not feeling good. And I was finally able to kind of shake it off yesterday. But today, and I've been feeling a lot better. So thankful for that, because I hate being sick. I just hate how draining it can be, you know? Mm-hmm. So that is definitely been my low point. I would say for my high point, though, we're getting married in like 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
Girl, already.
I'm so excited.
I know.
It's going to be wonderful.
It's going to be amazing. I was like, oh my gosh, like 4 weeks and I'm going to be in San Diego preparing to marry the love of my life. And that is like so exciting. And I can't believe it's already like around the corner.
It's
so crazy. How fast.
So fast. I know.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. I'm only a couple weeks shy of celebrating a year of marriage, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I know. So, yeah. So we're just getting like the final touches and, you know, just finalizing the guest list and sending it, you know, to the restaurant. So everything's good there. And
then we have nothing to worry about. Bells on. I'm so
excited. Yep. I'm so excited too.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. So besides my lovely bliss over here, how are you doing?
I've been doing pretty well. I'll start with my low.
Mm-hmm.
The transition in our household has been a little challenging. As far as I think I shared in our last episode, I can't remember, but just the transition, you know, from me being the one in grad school to now my husband is the one in grad school. It has been a lot. It's been a new kind of arena for us to navigate in our marriage, but
yeah,
one that stretches us and that, you know, calls us higher to communicate with one another and to exercise patience and grace. It's been a lot.
Yeah, I bet. But you guys are handling it so beautifully, though, from an outsider's perspective. So,
thank you.
I love that. Yeah.
I'm doing the best I can to be as supportive as possible, of course, while also, you know, still sharing like the necessary just burdens and weight of household responsibilities and different things like that. So, yeah, that would be my low. My high. We are getting on a plane in the morning. We are off to North Carolina for our fall break, which I'm super excited about. We are going to be splitting our time between North Carolina and Virginia. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm definitely looking forward to it. So my bedroom is a little bit in shambles right now as we still have some packing that needs to be done.
Right.
But, 7 a.m. We're getting on that plane. So
that's so exciting. So you guys are leaving tomorrow and you're coming back on Monday?
Yes.
Nice. Do you have anything fun planned for your birthday while you're out there?
Oh my goodness. Honestly, not too much. Husband made some very thoughtful reservations at a nice fancy restaurant. So we'll go out for a good dinner. But outside of that, it's not going to be anything super crazy. We'll go out and explore. We're going to be near the Outer Banks in North Carolina, which will be a lot of fun. And then we're going to be visiting friends in Virginia. So yeah. Just keeping it low key. We'll adventure. We'll get out and explore and also just take some time to rest and enjoy. Yeah. Not only my birthday, but my birthday literally only falls like a week before our wedding anniversary. So
there's a lot that's
to celebrate crazy around this time of year.
Yeah, I love that. I love that for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. And listeners, if you follow me on Instagram, I am definitely planning some exciting things for my birthday, a giveaway. So be sure to be on the lookout for that.
Nice. But,
okay. Did we talk about book? Are you ready to talk about book?
I am so ready. I need another sippy sip.
That's get it, sister. Okay. So, Before We Were Innocent by Ella Berman. Alicia, take it away.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Y'all. Okay. Sorry. I got a little too excited with the wine there.
That's okay. That's fine. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, I know. We love it. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and read off this lovely summary here, and then we'll go ahead and dive in. Oh my gosh. Okay. So friends since childhood, Bess and Evangeline and Joni embark on a high school graduation trip to Evangeline's native and beautiful country of Greece. With the excitement of college and their professional futures looming ahead, they seek this opportunity to bond with one another, as they always have, and a forever sisterhood. However, as the long summer days drag on, Bess and Joni start to rebel against Evangeline's controlling, demeaning nature. The shift in their friendship starts to show. When tragedy strikes in the form of Evangeline's untimely and accidental death, Bess and Joni find themselves at the forefront of the very public aftermath. This tragic summer of their past resurfaces and threatens to connect Joni and Bess to another crime, the missing persons case of Joni's partner, Willa. We discover how their lives have permanently been altered, with lies and secrets that are yet to be revealed. Told between then, 2008, and present day, 2018 timelines, this story is a tale of friendship and grief. It details how poisonous the media can be when facts are distorted, and that there are multiple sides to the truth. This book helps us ponder whether the truth really does set one free.
Okay. What were your thoughts?
Okay, so originally when I started reading this, it kind of started off a little slow for me. I just felt like it was kind of dragging. But then chapter, I would say like 24, 25 is where it picked up. And from that point until the end of the book, I could not put it down. I was reading when I wasn't supposed to be reading when I was at work. Which is fine. I know, but it was fine. It worked out. But yeah, I thought it was a really good, well together, like put together book. I usually have a hard time with the books that are reflecting on like the past and into the present. But I really liked how the concept of this ended up turning out for this book also, so that was really nice. I thought it flowed really good. But yeah, I absolutely loved it. I thought it was great.
Okay, awesome.
What about you? What do you think?
Yeah,
I actually sort of have mixed feelings about it, to be completely honest. I'm with you. It was a slow start for me. It did eventually pick up, and it was really the storyline itself was great. I can't quite put my finger on what it was that was lacking for me. I can't remember if I told you this or not, but I was listening to it on Audible, right? And this is the first time I've listened to a book on Audible for the podcast. And part of me is wondering if that had any influence on how I took in the book itself. Yeah. So for me, I appreciated the narrator's style. I liked listening to it on Audible. That wasn't the problem. It was a little bit harder to keep it all together in the then and now timelines for me, because of listening to it on Audible, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. That's just my. But we can dive in a little bit to just the friendship and the dynamics and whatnot. I don't know about you. I was scared of Joni LaBelle from the very beginning.
Same. Of her, yeah, like her demeanor, her attitude, she was always like, what's the word? She was just suspicious.
Yes.
For me too. Like from the very beginning, when we were kind of going into like the dynamics of them too. And even before you find out like what happened to Evangeline and all this too, I thought Joni was like the one that did it. I was like, oh, she killed Evangeline. Like that was what I thought right off the bat, was that she had a play in it, but that of course wasn't the case, but yeah.
She judges others so harshly. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but this element to her character and the fact that she had a podcast, I was like,
oh. You're like, oh, wait a minute.
I was a little like, oh, man. I thought Willow was dead from the beginning. So talking about the current timeline, so listener, to kind of catch you up, right? So we pick up in present day, Joni like comes back into Bess's life because she needs Bess to be her alibi.
Yeah.
When Willa, her partner, her fiance, goes missing. And it just was so shady from the jump. I was like, I don't like this. She's so manipulative. this just seems super duper sketch. I don't know. That was really weird to me. I did pick up on, what did you think about the connection of Bess's job? So listener, Bess works for an online dating company, an online dating profile, and she handles complaints. So she works remotely, handles complaints. Like, first of all, side note, let's talk about how someone like Bess, who has experienced such trauma in her life, completely understandable that you work from home. I would probably take that remote, secluded job myself as well.
Well, I mean, it was more like, same. Because not only is she secluding herself by working from home, her home is literally secluded. Lives in a cabin, like desert, middle of nowhere, like anywhere that she drives takes a while to get to. Like if you were to experience something so traumatic like she did, I totally would probably be the same way. Like, find me secluded. I would not want to do with anything or anybody. Like, and on the note of her job, though, too, she has a really interesting job. Like, her job.
Handling those kinds of complaints, right? Mm-hmm. But something that did stand out to me, so listener, she talks about how in her line of work, she has a choice, right? She can warn, she can block.
Yeah.
What's the third option?
It was warn. She can warn them. She can block them. I thought that was it.
No, I think she can block them from the other account or delete, like remove them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was like to remove the accounts from the platform.
So I think it's also a job that like allows her to have some control in something too.
Yeah.
Right. And she's also working purely on facts. She's separated from emotion. Like, nope, you did this. Nope, you did that. That's against policy. Not.
Yep.
Like, anyway. Yeah. Moving on from that, she would certainly have lots of stories. She would have lots of stories. We learn how different all of these girls' backgrounds were.
Yeah.
Beth actually came from England. She moved to California with her family. Her parents were scholars. They were very involved and attached parents. Versus Joni and Bess, Joni and Evangeline, who really did not have parents that were as involved or emotionally.
Yeah, their parents were very, they were very detached. Not only it seemed like, they were just very detached from everything, it seemed like. Just anytime they brought up something, it was just, there was just nothing there with their parents.
So we'll get to that probably. I do think the author, I think Ella Berman, did a really great job in the dynamics and in the relationships between Bess, Evangeline, and Joni. Me, and this is okay. If you've ever been a high school teenage girl, you know it is really hard to tell sometimes who's manipulating, who's being manipulated. It's very difficult because there can sometimes be a lot of gaslighting. There can be clicks. Oh, yeah. There can be these just very catty and uncomfortable situations. Mm-hmm. And there are moments, there are times friendships don't survive that, right? Like, I'm grateful you and I did. We've had our moments for sure. Mm-hmm. And I can think of maybe one other friend in my life that I have from my childhood days like that. Mm-hmm. But really, and we'll get into this, listener, a little bit more probably as we get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
It struck me a lot. So a big issue, a big kind of thread throughout the plot is Bess's relationship with Theo, Evangeline's brother.
Yeah.
And the fact that Evangeline does not support or approve of Theo and Bess's relationship. Did you think this was a violation of girl code? I use girl code in quotes.
I know, right? I don't know. That's kind of hard to, I don't know. In a way, yes. But I'm like, also in a way, no, because I feel like, I don't really know how to explain it, but I just feel like the friendship with Bess and Evangeline wasn't really a solid friendship in the beginning. So it's kind of like, where does that girl code kind of come in? Like, I feel like it would be one thing if, I mean, obviously we already know Joni and her relationship with women, but, you know, I'm just using it as an example, but I feel like if it was Joni and Theo, like, then at that point, you know, I would kind of be like, I'd like, let's not do that. But I feel like because Bess just kind of came into this friendship, and I feel like they weren't really friends that long though before they went into this trip in the first place anyway. Am I right? I'm kind of thinking that way.
No, they have been. They have been for a couple years, a few years.
Yeah. Right. So I don't know. I just feel kind of like, not really. I don't think that there was really like an issue to it, but I feel like as we kind of go on though, I definitely do see where the other issue was too, because Evangeline pretty much like all she really had was Theo because her parents weren't emotionally there. And Theo also kind of was like the same way. Like that was, that's his person. Yeah. And, you know, so I don't know.
Sure. And relationships amongst siblings is important. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we learn kind of closer to the end of the book, towards the end, right, that Evangeline was just so afraid of what she was losing.
Yeah.
And even Joni was afraid of mm-hmm. what she was losing.
Yep.
I can understand that insecurity, especially mm-hmm. before your prefrontal cortex is like completely developed. That's understandable. Mm-hmm. The hard thing in those times and in those moments to remember, right, is that emotion follows action. Like, yeah. Our emotions, our feelings are there for us for a reason. Mm-hmm. And it is hard sometimes. Sometimes it's wise. Sometimes it's not wise to act on them, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think that if there had been more trust,
yeah,
amongst all of them, the three yeah. of them, if there had been more honesty, who knows
what yeah would have happened, who knows how right? Like, you know, everything could have been mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, I agree.
So what we're trying to get to, listener, and we'll transition I guess into the conversation now, Evangeline's death is an accident. Yes. it's a complete accident. She slips and falls mm-hmm. and the aftermath that we're referring to, of course, is the very public aftermath. Joni and Bess are stuck in Greece. They are put on trial. They are in prison for a yeah. period of time, in jail for a period mm-hmm. of time. And when you're in a foreign country like that, that is, I could not even imagine. It's absolutely terrible. Alicia and I were texting pretty frequently as we were reading and listening to this book, and Amanda Knox kept going through my head constantly.
Yeah.
I have yet to finish her memoir. I am thoroughly convinced, though, that as part of her research, Ella Berman read Amanda Knox's memoir.
Yeah,
I can tell you why, because there were almost like specific examples of certain things that were pulled from. I'm like, oh, I read almost like not
the same exact thing. Yeah, but almost the same exact thing from the mm-hmm. book. Yeah.
Which I'm not dogging it. If
of course, if
the author did read mm-hmm. Amanda Knox's memoir as research, personally, I mean, and we were younger,
mm-hmm. yeah.
when that happened,
yeah.
Did you think she was guilty? Did you think Amanda Knox killed her roommate?
No,
really,
yeah.
I know I had a couple points in time where I thought she did.
Yeah, I think that's also the power of media too. Because yes, the media has a way of making things worse or just manipulating the truth mm-hmm. just so they can get a story out there.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened with Bess and Joni. They were put through all of it when it came to Evangeline's death. And I feel like, especially when you're in a foreign country and these are American teenagers, like you have like, and I'm sure the push of the country and like, you know, like you need to do something, make this right. So you know, they were spilling all of their secrets, all the notes, all the pictures, pictures that didn't even like weren't even related to their time in Greece. Like everything that they held sacred to themselves, and it was put out for everyone to see. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy because you never think about it either when you're posting stuff on your social media, like, and you just never know how that's going to get turned against you, even though it may have nothing to do with what's going on. But yep, that's just how the media is, and they will rip you apart and they have no remorse for it. And I feel like, you know, Amanda Knox was a perfect example of that, because, you know, at first you're just kind of like, oh yeah, she did it. She was her roommate. Like, she was there, you know. And, but then as kind of things get revealed and timelines start to, you know, get out there, and she tells her side of what happened, just everything after the case, you're like, oh, okay, well, the media just totally flipped, bamboozled, and everything else. And it's just, it's crazy how poisonous the media can be, for sure.
Well, it's crazy how damaging it can be. There's a scene in present day 2018, right, where Bess goes to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And she talks about how she feels like she knows what it's like to be followed. She has felt that feeling, like she's being followed or she's being watched before. Mm-hmm. And this journalist literally like gets her cornered all the way to her car.
Yeah.
And this poor woman has a panic attack.
Yeah.
She has a panic attack because of what she's experienced, right? Like,
yep.
And I'm appreciative for what someone like Amanda Knox brings to the forefront. She kind of sheds light on a lot of those issues. I can only imagine what she feels like when somebody comes up to her in person, and like, you don't know what you're going to expect.
And but it's
a public figure when you never intended to be a public figure.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like one of those things too, where it's like, not only are you getting harassed while you're in a foreign country, you don't know what's happening, but then you come home and it's like worse, you know, because you have the media and you have journalists that are camping outside of your home, which in turn, you know, going to, you know, with Bess in this case and how she became so secluded is because she didn't want to leave that house. She was like, there are media outside, like, I'm not going out there. And it was really, I felt so bad for her. I felt so bad. And it just broke my heart when, you know, she was going through the phase, not eating, not wanting to go out, losing all this weight. And her brother, like, poor,
talk about poor man. For a second.
Mm-hmm. He, so I,
he's hard to get into. I know.
He's so hard to get into. And it's just because he lost it. Like, after weeks of their, you know, of Bess's parents tiptoeing around her, like making sure, like, cause she was so fragile. And Steven's like, yo, like, this is enough. Like, can you not see that not only are you being selfish, but you're like slowly killing all of us? And you know, she knew, like, Bess knew what she was doing, but she just didn't know how to express it. And I think that's just what made it so much worse. But with Steven and her and Steven's relationship, even like going into present day, it seemed like it always, it like just had been strained from that moment that he snapped in, you know, the pastime.
How do you feel like it was towards the ending? We'll get into how we felt about the whole ending in a little bit, but as far as their relationship goes.
So I feel like she has a new appreciation for him because she ends up finding out that he's been playing Mr. Tough guy, I guess, if you want to put it, Mr. Spy, you know, on like Reddit posts whenever it randomly comes up about what happened to Evangeline. And he's like, do you guys even know what happened? Were you even there? And he totally defends Bess and he defends her honor. Like, you guys don't know what happened. So why are you on this platform talking smack when your profile picture is a potato? Like, get out of here. So
pictures of potato.
But I do feel like towards the end of the book, though, I definitely do see that their relationship does get better. I, you know, of course they're not going to touch on it. But I would have liked to know, like, in a foreword or something, like, that they were okay at the end, you know, that they ended up, you know, not making it so awkward when they see each other for coffee and, you know, hey, how are you doing? And that's pretty much all the conversation is. So, but I definitely do think that with that addition with Steven and whatnot, I feel like it definitely helped their relationship quite a bit for sure.
No, yeah. I would agree. And so let's kind of get back to Greece for a second and back to Evangeline and 2008 and the incident that happened and everything. A lot of what catapulted the event, if you will, or served as a catalyst was essentially when Evangeline felt threatened by Bess's relationship with her brother Theo. And she told Bess that she didn't think that Bess was good enough. Like, she, you know, the Itos family came from, like, you know, high society Greece, if you will. They were very wealthy. Her father, Stavros, had multiple affairs, you know, behind the back of his wife and his children, and and sometimes frequently, like, it was a very toxic environment for them, for Evangeline and her brother Theo. And in a lot of ways, absolutely, yes, that's why their bond was so important to both of them. That's why they really needed each other. Like, I would totally agree with that. I did not like Evangeline at all when she told Bess that Bess was not good enough. That just was not,
when
it started feeling so mean girls. It started feeling like little liars to me.
Yes.
Oh, I couldn't stand it.
I know. Me either. I, like, going into this book and just how Evangeline and her character and her attitude was, I'm like, oh, this girl's a problem child. And she just has this nasty attitude. Like, just, she was so controlling and just everything about it. And then just, like, that very last piece of it before she fell was like, oh, my girl.
I would be just as devastated, if not more, than Beth was, honestly. Because
the thing is, too, it's like, and because it's like, if this, of course, was not a tragic death book, I couldn't imagine how it would have been if Evangeline lived and they had to go back into the hotel after that fight. Like, how do you, how would have these girls recovered, you know, leaving that scene if Evangeline didn't pass? Like, once they had came back to the States, there was going to be probably no friendship, you know, in my opinion. But unfortunately, that's not the case that ends up happening. And you know.
Yeah.
Can I?
I know. It's hard. It's really, really hard. And then, you know, you're young, impressionable girls in an international, you know, foreign country, far away from home.
Yep.
That party scene, that bar scene gave me the ick.
I was so cringed. I cringed.
Were you? Okay.
Yes.
I didn't think that I was the only one, obviously, but I just. And then I started thinking about Natalie Holloway. Do you remember Natalie Holloway, the teenager? Was she from, I think she was from Alabama.
Yeah.
I can't remember where, but she died in Aruba.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got to that scene and Joni and Bess are doing cocaine and there's dancing and drinking and there's all these guys, I'm thinking, oh, like, does Evangeline go missing? Like, does one of these guys kidnap her? And in fact, they end up at Pierre's house, one of the guys who ends up being, he's the leader of a sex trafficking ring, right?
Yeah, he's the leader of it. But on a side note, though, I knew that Evangeline's death was going to happen at that party just by the way they were explaining the way the house was and where it was at and the cliff and everything like that.
Okay.
I had a feeling. I was like, something's going to happen. Either someone's about to push her off or they get drunk and she falls. Like, I had a feeling one of those was going to happen because I'm like, this is getting too deep in the book. There's no way that something doesn't happen in this storyline at this house. I had a feeling. I was right.
But so now let's connect that to Willa, Joni's partner. Did you feel like loose ends were tied up there? Forgive the improper analogy if it is, but honestly, I think that that's what I'm wrestling with, and that's what I'm struggling with this book too.
Yeah.
It just didn't feel like everything ended cohesively for me.
It really didn't, because it was like with Willa, it was like she went missing and Joni was like, oh, it's nothing unusual. And then she ends up dead. And then we think that it's her lover, but then it's not. And then we just, it never really satisfied me on figuring out what actually happened, because it seemed like they kind of were like, oh, well, she died. Okay, then that's it. Like, the end with Willa. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. And then, okay, and what about the whole affair thing and whatnot with Lucien?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. That was just so, it was so odd. I don't know. I just kind of felt like that didn't need to be in the book. Like, I felt like that affair, I don't know.
But if that affair wasn't in the book, then what other explanation was there going to be other than Joni killed Willa?
Right. I don't know. But yeah. I don't know. That's what makes it so strange. It's because it's like, well, I feel like the relationship that Willa was having with Lucien, I felt like it wasn't necessary, because I feel like it could have easily just been something where Joni was actually having an affair, because it turns out that she wasn't, which that was a whole weird thing too for me, that she made up this whole story to Bess about her having an affair and making up this person, when in reality, there's
all these little like minor.
Yeah.
Details, because you don't know who to believe and you don't know who to trust.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I needed a happily ever after in this at all. Mm-hmm. That's not it. But do we even find out where Joni is at the end?
No, she just disappears. Okay. That's the other thing too. Joni just disappears once she gets into it with Bess, and then that's it. And then, but they make it seem like it's okay. Like, oh, do you think wherever Joni is, she's happy? It's like, probably not. And for all we know, she's in the bottom of the ocean because no one explains where the heck she is. Is she okay? Is Joni alive? I don't know.
I have no idea. Yeah. It was unsettling for me, I guess. And I thought it was great writing. I did like this book. I think that there were elements and aspects to issues with the media.
Yeah.
Issues with women in society. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That Ella Berman, our author, that she brings to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like because like we said, it's, I don't really think this book was supposed to have an essentially like a happy ending anyway, but it would have just been nice to tie up everything all together. Like, I feel like,
did you feel one of those things that Theo was married? Sorry to interrupt you.
Yes, I did, because I knew that she still held on for the fact that, you know, he was gonna come back for her in Greece and they were supposed to spend that time and all this stuff, but of course never happened. But I did also like, though, how they kind of brought Evangeline back into it, though, by, like, Theo marrying her. What was her name?
Nova. No, that's Stevens.
No, that's Stevens.
Oh, my gosh. Shoot. What is Theo's wife's name? Starts with an N? No. Oh, my gosh. I cannot remember.
I know.
That's okay. No worries.
Yeah. So, whatever her name is, I'm sure like we'll think about it later and we'll text each other and be like, that was her name. But I like how, Bess like tells Theo, like, you know, you married your sister, right? And he was like, yeah, I'm totally aware. I thought that was so cute. But I thought though, like, I don't know. I feel like it would have been, I guess, essentially in like a way, a happy ending if like they ended up charging Lucien for whatever happened to Willa. Joni threw a temper tantrum, but ended up coming back. And then it was like the three of them honoring Evangeline. And that would, I feel like that would have been a better like ending to the book than her being like, I still have feelings for Theo, but I can't kiss them. I'm going to get in my car and drive off. Like, I didn't like it.
Yeah, I would agree. I could see that because it did feel like towards the end, that was what the author was going for.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to show these characters honoring the life and death of this young woman, this young girl, right? And I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Characters never really got any of that closure. I felt like as a reader, I didn't get the closure as well. So that was what bothered me. So I don't know. Oh, man. Listeners, listen, if you had different thoughts, if you had different feelings about this book, please let us know. Oh, what? Tell me everything.
Theo's wife, her name is Sophia.
Oh, so it doesn't start with an N.
You are off by a few letters, my friend. Side note, because I'm looking into the book right now, the article that Joni wrote in 2009, the one that she said that she published for Dollface, yes, love that Bess finally got to reading it, and I thought it was, like, super sweet. Anyway, yeah, so...
See, even leading up to that point, you're so right. Leading up to that point, I felt like Ella Berman, as the author, she had an opportunity to take these characters in a direction that just, it didn't, you're so right. Yeah. I don't know. Listeners, tell us what you think. If you agreed with us, if you do not agree with us, I don't think either of us are trying to bash on this book or like say that we didn't like it. It was great writing.
Oh yeah, it absolutely.
When a book leaves you
unsatisfied,
wanting more,
that too,
from it.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I struggle with. I don't know. Oh my goodness.
I don't know either.
Dang.
But with that though, I know. I just want to say really quick before we get into our like who we can picture each of them, you know, as an actress.
Yes.
It turned my tummy when they were explaining Evangeline's death and how she fell.
Yeah,
that was hard.
No, it definitely was. And the thing that was really difficult for me, I mean, I agree with you, that was challenging. Mm-hmm. What I was referencing earlier when I was saying I'm pretty sure the author read Amanda Knox's memoir, that interrogation scene with Bess, not the one later where she reads the transcript of Joni being interrogated by the detectives, but when Bess is actually in there.
Yeah.
Literally, like, I'm telling you, like, I did not finish all of Amanda Knox's memoir. I think I maybe got 70% of the way through. I need to finish it. It's on my Kindle, so I need to finish it. I probably will with our trip, actually. I could pick it up and finish it this week. But I literally was like, I could swear I've read this.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain this is very real. This is what some people go through. This is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I even wrote in our notes, I think I said something in here like an accidental death like that. Like it's hard to just explain away. Like,
yeah.
Oh, like
what
happened? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
she slipped on a rocky piece of a cliff in Mykonos walking back to their hotel. What more can you like? What more can you say? I don't, anyway.
Yeah,
I don't know. Okay, yes, moving on. Time for our film, TV, movie segment. So, who do you envision here?
So for me, I pictured young Joni as Tiffany Boone from Little Fires Everywhere. I don't know if you see that, but definitely pictured her. And then older Joni, I kind of pictured Kerry Washington. I don't know why, but I just
You were thinking I was of Hope.
Yep, I totally was. That's why. And that was just kind of.
No, that's Joni vibes. That's Joni personality. I feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of where I was going with that for sure. And then I was thinking like young Bess. I was thinking of like Millie Bobby Brown for Bess. I don't know why, but she just kind of plays that really. I don't know. I feel like she's played that well, like nice, shy, girl before. But older Bess, I could definitely picture Natalie Portman as older Bess. And then for young Evangeline, I was thinking of McKenna Grace as a young Evangeline.
You'll have to remind me who that is.
So she's been in, actually, she's been in a lot of horror movies, which is probably why you haven't heard of her. But she.
That's a dig at me, listeners, because Alicia knows I don't watch horror movies. I don't watch scary movies.
She really doesn't.
Although, listen, when it comes time to discuss this next month's book pick, I swear. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. So anyway, so those are my picks. So
it's funny, we actually have a couple overlapping. So you had Millie Bobby Brown for young Bess. I actually pictured her for Evangeline.
Oh, I guess I could see her as like,
oh, either she could pull off either easy peasy.
Yeah.
I feel
definitely. Yeah.
And then, oh my gosh, it's just the cutest, sweetest movie. Have you seen Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
I have not.
Oh, it's adorable. It's with Rachel McAdams, which actually, why I didn't have her on my list, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But look her up. Her name is Abby Ryder Fortson. She plays Margaret. And I totally pictured her as Joni. For sure. And then for Bess, I actually was thinking of Elle Fanning.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can see and that. Then, I love Elle Fanning. I love her.
And then talking about like Rachel McAdams, I had Reese Witherspoon on my list for like older Bess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost wondering, I don't know, I could see either of them in there. And I had Natalie Portman as like someone I envisioned for Joni, older Joni, or even Mila Kunis, because to be honest, I like whenever there was like a super dark scene in this book with Joni, tell me why I thought a little bit of Black Swan as well.
Oh, totally. Yes. Oh, right? My gosh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so there you go.
There you go. I love it. That actually works out really well.
There you go. For sure. Well, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, getting into some end matter, I'm going to be completely honest with you listeners. I don't know that next month's podcast episode is going to be a whole lot better than this one.
Listen, you guys, I'm just going to tell you right now, I may be coming on to the podcast a little drunk because I have to brace myself. And mind you, I haven't even finished the book yet. And I am already like,
you're probably only what, like a third of the way through?
Yes.
Okay. So, listener, next month's book pick, we are covering Verity by Colleen Hoover.
I need a brain cleanse.
You need a brain cleanse from romance. Now you need a brain cleanse from what? Death, horror, tragedy?
Listen, I signed up for a good thriller. I didn't sign up for brain exploding, stomach churning, crying at work because I love my children.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, and I know you said that it gets worse. So great. I'm not prepared.
Alicia texted me today letting me know like the point of the book that she was in. And I was like, brace yourself. You're not even to the worst part yet. So lovely.
Great. Because I already know. Well, anyway, we'll get into it.
We'll talk about it next time. Don't
worry. I'm going to need to hug my child before we get into it.
After we cover Verity by Colleen Hoover, we have, I think, some really great picks to end off 2023, to end the year. So maybe what we'll do to pick up back, to pick thrillers back up, we can pick up that Lisa Jewell book, None of This Is True.
Yes, please.
After we take our cleanse and we get back to the fun, happy.
Well, I mean, we have November for...
Yep, we have November and December picked already, listeners.
Yep, we do. No. So those are going to be a nice little break.
Yes.
And then we can probably start January off with a bang.
There you go.
Yeah. Looking forward to October, but it will be fine. It'll be fine. Here,
and then it'll be gone. And it's already going to be the holidays, ladies and gentlemen. So there you go. Oh, my gosh. Well, my dear, I should finish up my last minute packing.
Yes.
Husband gets home. But
yes.
I'm so, so grateful for these evenings that we get to have together. And listener, again, please, like I said, I want to encourage you to share with us if you have different thoughts, if you had different feelings about this book. Did you like it more than us? Did you like it less than us? Like, we are absolutely looking forward to hearing from you. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Before we get into the final sign off, listeners, we have to hear from Alicia to find out where she's at on her ACOTAR journey.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I had to take a break because there was like a million things going on. Because I had to get through this book and I now have to get through Verity, and I feel like ACOTAR is going to be my brain cleanse.
It will.
I am almost done with the book and I absolutely love it.
You're almost done with Thorns and Roses with book one.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And then as soon as I'm done with that, I haven't decided if I'm going to pick up book two yet, because there are a couple of books that I do want to read before we get into November book. Okay. So stay tuned for that, but I probably will though, because I've been like dying to finish ACOTAR though. I think I've told you that like a million times, like, I just need to get through this and it'll be fine. And I'll feel like I'm all caught up, but you're already like three steps ahead of me. So,
okay. Probably only technically like one or two. So to give you context, we will be sure to keep you updated on our ACOTAR journey. I have only made it through A Court of Thorns and Roses and A Court of Mist and Fury. So I have Wings and Ruin to get through next, which is the third one. I am in the middle of reading Fourth Wing, though, by Rebecca Yarros. And I've got to tell you, I'm absolutely in love. I'm just shy of 100 pages in. It's like Harry Potter meets Hunger Games meets Gossip Girl.
That is intense.
<That's> wonderful.
Now I know I need to get a copy of that to add to my list. I mean, I think at this point, and like you mentioned before, my TBR list is just going to keep piling up, and I'm going to have to just find time to read the books that I, well, for one, had bought and go through this list.
I know. Oh my goodness.
It's all good.
Well, lots and lots of exciting things happening. Like I said to listeners, please stay tuned. You did hear Alicia correctly. My birthday is this weekend. And I would love to gift you with a giveaway. So
yes,
follow me on Instagram. I am at Miss Jordan Alexis. That's MS Jordan Alexis. And I will be posting something probably coming up this weekend. I am going to do my best, given the fact that I will be on vacation. So be on the lookout if it doesn't possibly happen until we get back on Monday. But where can listeners find you, Alicia?
You guys can find me on Instagram at Monet_Allie, which that's going to be changing in a few weeks once my last name is officially changed.
Oh my God.
No, if you couldn't tell y'all, I'm pretty excited that I get to marry this man. I'm so excited
for you. Will it's you let us see your pictures?
Oh, heck yeah. Listen, I'm not going through stress and losing weight for nothing. So we got to share all the pictures.
Oh my God, stop it. You are beautiful. Don't worry about it. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be great. And then yes, listeners, follow us on Instagram. We do have a podcast Instagram, Tales Over Tales podcast. That is Tales, T-A-L-E-S, Over Tales, T-A-I. LS. And you can also email the podcast. Alicia, tell them our email.
TalesOverTalesPod@gmail.com.
That's right.
And also make sure like, review, comment, all that good stuff wherever you listen to us, Spotify, Apple, whatever the heck else is out there. There's so many out there, but wherever you guys listen to us, like, comment, review. Leave your recommendations as well. Those are greatly appreciated. We love all the things.
Absolutely. We look forward to hearing from you all. We hope you have a great rest of your week, listeners. Until then, stay reading.
Stay classy.
And as always,
stay drinking.
Bye, Mama. Love you.
Bye. Love you.